Blog Talk Radio.
I don't hear it anymore. I heard blog and then cut off.
Yeah, I removed it.
Okay.
Removed it from the stream. All right. Ready? Everyone ready?
Yep.
Yes. And we're live. Go!
This is your announcer, Shannon Saint Mainframe, welcoming you to our IP Lockcast. The show is late this week because Robert was away at a bachelor party. You'll be surprised to learn Rob wasn't one of the partiers. But not as surprised as a bachelor was when Rob popped out with that cake. Sexy. Our IP Livecast starts. Now.
That's right. I'd like to announce our new business. I now have a engagement cake business.
Engagement cake? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, like when you get engaged, if you want a cake, someone's pop out of
it. You're at a bachelor party.
You've been engaged for a while.
Yeah, great engagement.
I'd also like to point out a subtle thing from that announcement that the lovely Miss Mainframe made. Saint Mainframe. A lady said you were sexy, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
She liked your performance. Did she see? Was there footage of this? Has she observed this, or just is it just the idea of Rob coming out?
The idea.
Well,
I think it's probably more
she's in the mainframe. She's in the mainframe. So while there is no footage, she can access any. Like she was probably looking through security cam footage or something.
Oh, so like if there was a smart TV in the room, she could have spied on this.
Exactly.
TV. So it's just like Space Jam 2, where she's just in the computer.
No. She is the algorithm, indeed.
Allison G. Rhythm. That's your new name. When they do Space Jam 3 and it's with a WNBA star, that will definitely be the name of the villain.
Please, I can't believe you even remember that. Like, even that has been...
I mean, it's how hard is it to remember Al-G Rhythm, algorithm, like...
I just remember it because of the douche chills I felt for Don Cheadle having play that part, this wonderful, all-time great actor debasing himself for money. I don't begrudge him that. Sure, he got a boatload of money, but wow, how embarrassing that was for him. Probably do the same if I was...
That's him setting off that car alarm to get us to stop shitting on
him. He's actually morphed into Al-G Rhythm.
Yeah.
Access the smart dashboard of cars to influence our show here.
So, Robert, what was this bachelor party? Tell us more. You obviously, we were facetiously saying that you jumped out of a cake, but indeed you did not jump out of a cake.
I can feel this one. Sid, when a man is getting married, most of the time they'll have a gathering. There'll be some sexual shenanigans.
Ooh.
Like this.
Yeah.
Strippers
shenanigans, Robert?
There was a strip club, but I didn't go.
What?
I mean, there was a strip club situation. I didn't know. What the fuck?
Were you the only one who didn't go?
No.
Was there like a separate outing for the non-strip club people? Or did
no, it was already late. I mean, I guess, so we were staying. Well, let me start from the beginning.
This is
the
RIP Alive cast. I'm Sid. That's Rob. That's Darren.
I am Darren. I wanted to ask you, was this a heterosexual cis wedding?
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so. Very much a bro down. Lots of masculinity in the room. It was my buddies. It's people that I worked with, like friends of mine through Mental Injection. And just people that I probably wouldn't really see that often anymore. So it's interesting because the person we were having the bachelor party for actually was already married.
Foreman?
No, he had eloped, but didn't tell anyone. And so his friend, his closest friend of our group, thought it would be a fun idea to do a post-wedding bachelor party.
Nice.
And so we all got together and we got in he was very kind enough to drive a like 9-person van, which I mean,
wait, the bachelor did this or the person who put the party together?
The organizer.
Okay.
The organizer.
That'd be funny if you made the bachelor drive the van.
No, he didn't do shit.
How long has he been married that you're having the party?
Like a few months.
Oh, okay.
It just happened, yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't like pre-pandemic and you've just been waiting.
Oh, no, not like that long. But it was fun. We went to Boston and we went to a bunch of breweries. You guys like to drink, and I realize there's a lot of beer, especially in the New England area, that I do not like. It's quite the contrast from being in Europe, where I liked all of the beers. Not like all of them, but like a lot of them were much more up my alley because they were lagers and pilsners, and those were like the lighter
beers. I still don't know what any of that means.
A lager... The most basic example of a lager is a Budweiser, but, you know, Budweiser is shitty. There could be, like, tasty versions of that. And a Pilsner is similar. But they're
What's
drinking
a Pilsner? Pilsner is, like, Heineken or something?
Yeah, exactly. Heineken
and what's the difference? Other than the name?
The lagers are a little lighter, I guess. I don't know. They're pretty similar to me. They're the ones that I like. And like being as though there were in New England, there was a lot of New England IPAs, which are Indian pale ales, which are fucking disgusting. I mean, like, look, I'm not a beer aficionado. I'm speaking like I will admit this, but I just don't understand what the obsession is with IPAs. They're intentionally bitter and hoppy and just not.
I don't know what that even means.
Hoppy is just. This bitterness inside it, like it's like this aftertaste.
So it's just like the city of Boston. It seems like it's right there. It's just bitter and has
Boston
an aftertaste.
Everyone is pretty nice in Boston. This first brewery that we went to, I'm going to look up the name of it. Oh. But like, I want to say they like the smell of their own farts a little too much. That's kind of my.
Dropkick Murphy's, was that the name of it? Someone should do that if they haven't yet. That's
like
a free idea for you Northeasterners.
They like the smell of their own farts so much, they made the beer taste like it.
I mean, to me, that's what they all taste like. Sorry.
I hate beer so much. Yeah. Even the good, supposedly good. Everyone will always tell me, I say, I don't like beer. But Darren, you got to drink this beer. This fucking beer that I love.
Yeah. I drink it. I'll oblige them, you know, and I'm like, you have to drink this beer that barely tastes like beer, and then you'll like it.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I think you like. Like, there's really good, like, grapefruit beers and orange peel beers, but they just kind of taste like grapefruit juice, you know? Wow. They're not really
the experience I've had with this. I like beer subs will suggest something to me, but it's what they like, which is like the most intense beer that, like, I don't even like entropy beer. That's like me saying to someone, I don't really like metal. And then saying, no, you just haven't heard grindcore yet.
Yeah. No,
once
you're totally
you hear
right.
That,
I bet what they recommended to you is an IPA because they're so popular. Yet I think people, you know, I don't want to put intentions on people, but I think they just like that it's like so gross that they can handle it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like Tool to music fans. It makes you think your aura smarter than it actually is. You think you look smarter if you like.
Yeah.
Beer. You think you're more of a beer aficionado if you like the beer that tastes horrible.
You found something that no one else has found.
Yeah.
As someone who's pushing 40, I do want to say when like I was a teen first starting to drink beer, you know, people would say, oh, it's an acquired taste.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I'm here to tell you at near 40, I have yet to really acquire much of a taste for it. The only, like I said, the only beers that I've acquired a taste for are lagers, Hefeweizens, some pilsners, something light, something fruity.
Well, that's
something
a lot. Nice. That sounds like a lot to me.
I mean,
more than I like.
Honestly, what's so crazy is in the New England area, there were some places that only had IPAs, and I didn't even drink. I was just like, fuck this. I'm just going to have water. I'm not going
to
have these fucking disgusting IPAs.
Join
well,
the 3D
a lot of drugs?
I mean, pot is legal, so.
Okay, so you still have something. Yeah.
This one place, actually.
Well, let's be real. If it wasn't legal, he'd be smoking.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, come on.
Yeah, I mean,
but then you'd be locked up right now, and we wouldn't be able to do the show.
Right, that's the problem.
yeah, so this one place, yeah, so they had either IPAs or they had something called The Dude.
Oh.
Which was. which was a beer inspired by The Big Lebowski.
Oh, okay.
And if you've watched The Big Lebowski, of course, you know that his favorite drink is a White Russian.
Mm-hmm.
So the beer tastes like a White Russian.
It was
odd.
White Russian.
It was like you were drinking yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not Russian, Darren. I've learned now that I'm half Ukrainian. So
I
please,
forgot.
Show some respect. But
well,
some
the other half.
On the ethnicity.
I forgot that that's become offensive in the last 2 months. Sorry.
You're half Ukrainian and half Russian.
Half Ukrainian, half Iranian. What are you talking about?
Mm.
Ain't no Russian in there.
That was a false flag.
So you're not in a hurry anymore.
Yeah.
What was I saying? Okay, so the first bar was called Treehouse Brewery. It was in Charlton, Massachusetts. Already, from the start, it's weird. First of all, it was a huge property. It was like a giant ranch. There was a huge outdoor area. It was very nice looking. Mm-hmm. They had one lager. One. And then like 40 IPAs. So the first red flag was you cannot make any purchases at the brewery. You buy a drink ticket online and you redeem it at the brewery. Which is like, what the fuck? Like, what is going on here? I don't know. I guess they don't want to deal with billing.
Could that be some sort of weird 1897 ordinance thing, like when a church ladies ran all the societal laws and everything like that?
Me and my friends were just assuming that, like, when it gets crazy busy, it's just too much time waste to, like, process orders, and if people just hand you tickets, it's easier to just get them the beer and move on.
Where do you get the ticket from?
Online, on your phone. You have to buy a ticket.
Oh.
They don't – well, that's the thing. You would think they would have a QR code. No. You give them the order number. They look up the order number on their iPad. So it's
okay. All right.
That sounds like a lot of work to do to taste something, to drink something that tastes like asshole.
Yeah.
Now,
strike
number two. Now, this is not my complaint. This was somebody else in my group complaint. But I feel like put together – Pepe was not with me.
Ooh.
Falling out?
Well, no, but like that these people like you enough to invite you to a bachelor party, but not Pepe.
I mean, he's not even, he just got back to New York, so. Anyway.
So did you. Literally like an hour ago. Congratulations.
All right, great work, Tim. So strike number two, again, this is a ranch, middle of nowhere, no free Wi-Fi.
Oh, for God's
but, sake. I mean, look, not the, for me, not the end of the world. For
how
me,
are you ordering drinks on your phone if there's no Wi-Fi?
That's exactly what we were saying. It's like for an establishment that requires you to use your mobile phone to not give away free Wi-Fi.
That's
is
fucking absurd.
Dumb.
It's
so
like
is
what
pay Wi-Fi?
Oh
no. We do not offer any Wi-Fi for customers.
It's just
they
what they're
just
saying.
For business.
The people who want their beer to be like enjoying Tool as music. They're making you jump through hurdles. The more hurdles you jump through, the more they love it.
They're so gatekeeping their own product.
Also, the types of beers, like all the beers have different prices. So, like, you know, I got like tickets for two classic beers, which are non-IPAs. And then for the second, the first one tasted so shitty, it still was bitter, that I was like, oh, I want to get a hard seltzer. How could you fuck up a hard seltzer? You know? I couldn't because my ticket was for a different price point. Anyway, so then I go up to them and I bought two beer tickets. I wanted to use my second beer ticket on a hard seltzer. They would not allow.
Oh, okay,
it.
This is like a fucking crypto card. Like I don't have.
Right. It's almost follow this. So anyway, I had the second ticket, and I'm just like, all right, well, guys, you know, the first beer was a little bitter. Do you have anything like similar to a Hefeweizen or something like that? And he was like, oh, well, our lightest beer is the such and such. And we think you would like it. I was like, okay, could I try it? Well, it's not called the such and such. I'm just making – I don't remember what it's called.
I would believe that it was, though. That sounds like something a beer snob would call his beer.
100%. I go, can I try it? They go, we don't do samples. Go fuck yourself. We don't do sample. I want to say I was, and the thing that was even more annoying about it is the next brewery we went to was the complete opposite. We got like, we went to Harpoon's Brewery, which by the way, nothing but good things to say about Harpoon's Brewery. I've been there before. They do have delicious light beers that I can enjoy in addition to disgusting IPAs. They were giving us samples like it was nobody's business. We had like 30 little sample cups. Like they didn't give a fuck. You know, that's how a fucking brewery should be. Not we don't give samples when you have fucking 50 beers. Give me a fucking taste. Give me a
Deuterino, taste. Deuterino in the comments says that he'd think the beer would be more refreshing after that whole hassle.
No, you need a fucking beer after going through all that. Yeah. Gotta do the fucking blockchain of IPAs before you get a drink.
That night we went to a fantastic steakhouse in Boston called Abe and Louie's. So if you're in the Boston area and need a fancy, not at all cheap steakhouse,
I highly recommend it. Shrimp Tower?
Well, so in the lead up to the event, there was obviously an email thread. We sent out the menu and I saw that there is a seafood tower. And you know your boy is going to recommend to the table we get a seafood tower.
Table? Mabel, well, you eat the whole fucking tower by yourself.
I would have, but I have to tell you, this is a steakhouse. But this is, and as someone who has had at least five of these, the best seafood tower I've ever had.
I am the table.
I am the tower. I fell in love with the seafood tower to the point where I was a little worried because I was so full from the seafood tower that I was like, holy shit, I have a whole steak coming. How am I going to fucking eat this
steak? I'm
sure
your bros would have helped you out with the steak if you couldn't finish it.
Don't worry, I finished it. Don't worry.
I didn't get to take it back to your hotel if you don't finish it anyway.
Use it as a pillow.
Here's the photo of the lovely seafood tower and my love for it. What was most shocking is there was a full lobster in the seafood tower, which was completely unexpected. We were all splitting a fucking lobster. It was intense. So there's clams, there's mussels, there's oysters, there's baked clams, there's clams and mushrooms. There was fucking beautiful shrimp cocktail.
Is that like a giant tub of tartar sauce?
Yeah, this is a giant tub of tartar sauce over here. And like everything, the clams, these are clams, right? The raw, unbelievably meaty. I'm not even too hot on the clams. Now,
Deuterino calling you out in the comments. Dude.
That is a mediocre piece of shit tower. I want to say, as a tower, it doesn't look very tower-esque. It looks like a condo than a tower.
The seafood chode.
But the quantity was massive. Like it was the most food in a seafood tower that I've ever gotten.
I can see that, but it looks. I kind of am between the both of you. I feel like he does bring up a good point that the plating is important. Like you have a tower, it's got to be towery. It's got.
There needs to be a third deck. I agree with you.
Put the same amount of food, but just vertically.
Absolutely. That's, yeah, like this plate could have been on the third tier. This plate up here, you know, that we have with the fried stuff, that could have been a third tier, and then it would have given more light to the clams on the second tier. And it's almost hiding all the love, all the goodness on the first tier. Which, hold on, I did take a photo. I want you to see.
Ross putting out a coffee table book of foods of seafood towers around the world.
Oh, no, hold on. So this is with the top taken
off.
Who's
the guy, by the way, who's the guy like just over your hand who looks just like a pastier version of you?
That's the guy who's bachelor party.
That's the after pick after Robbie saw this.
this is the lower tier. As you can see, it is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It is. Yeah. And this is one of those examples where I really am sincere when I say I would love to become a seafood aficionado. It looks good to me. And also I noticed that restaurants go ham on presenting seafood in a beautiful way more than they do for any other type of food. It looks good. Mm-hmm.
I always try something. Every now and then I'll try some seafood, and I hate it, and I want to love it. I'm not like.
What's the closest you've come to enjoying a seafood item? Has there ever been something that you hated the least?
Well, I don't know if this counts. I do eat like tuna salad, but that's just overloaded with mayo, and I don't really.
Yeah.
But I do have a small anecdote to derail from Rob's story very quickly. I was working in Times Square for a few years, and I went to this, like, one of those gourmet delis or something, mm-hmm. and they had these chicken patties. And I used to get a chicken patty sandwich for – I got a – you know, you get hooked on things for a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this patty every day and on a – like a – dressed as a burger, you know, and I – oh, it's so good. I was telling my coworkers, this is so good. You got to try this. I went back there one day to get it the next time on a Monday after I had been off for a few days, and I see crab cake. And it's the same thing. It's a crab cake. And this whole time, it's been a crab cake. And I was like, well, this is good. This is good. I ate a fucking crab cake. It was delicious. And now maybe I'm expanding. I got it again, and I tasted like shit. It was like fucking psychological.
Just, what's the illusion was broken?
Well, it turned out the guy had the crab cakes in the case with a chicken patty sign.
Oh my God. People could be allergic to that shit. Somebody could have gotten really sick. That's
irresponsible. So they rectified that, and now it was in front of the crab cake sign. But then I couldn't eat it anymore. I couldn't
eat it. And you're sure it wasn't chicken, and they just made the mistake that one day?
I'm not 1,000,000% sure, but I do think it had a taste to it, and I was like, oh, this is a sort of eccentric chicken patty.
Briny.
I like whatever they did to this.
Yeah.
And it turned out what they did to it was not use chicken and they used crab.
I will say crab cake probably a lot more expensive than chicken patties, so at least you save money if they charge you for the chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that matters to you, but...
I mean, I was so sad because I ate that crab cake. Knowing it was a crab cake, I almost threw up. And I was so sad. I was like, I was excited. I was like, I got a new thing to eat, and I didn't. Mm.
I think you need to go get like some sort of hypnotist or something to get you over this fear of seafood.
I don't
like if you didn't know, you could like it.
I don't want to do that. I don't want it that bad that I'd go to a hypnotist.
I mean, if all the food that was left was seafood, maybe he'd have to do that. But there's plenty of other shit he could eat.
Yeah, I'm fine. But thanks, Rob.
I wanna give Alday Rage credit for this play on words, calling me Team Turf.
Yeah,
turf spelled T-U-R-F, as in surf and turf.
Well, no, Darren would be Team Turf. You would be Team Surf.
Oh, you're right.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm confusing them. That's right.
Tuna exclusionary radical
feminist. Yeah, so I was very much enjoying the surf, worried about the turf. I made it, though. I did plan ahead because I knew we were getting a ton of appetizers. We also got amazing bacon. We got this.
Those places always have very nice.
Yeah, like this tuna tartare, which was I'm not even too crazy about tuna, but it was fucking good.
It's like
it
sushi
fish. Yeah, if it's fresh,
like sashimi, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And the filet. We had a choice between a filet mignon and a ribeye. And initially, I was like, oh, I want to do the ribeye. But then I realized there's going to be so much food. I don't need that much steak.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the filet mignon, the thing about it is filet mignon is my favorite cut. My only complaint is I always feel like there's not enough of it because
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, the smallest cut. But in this instance, it was perfect.
Yeah.
Because I was already so full, it was just enough. And so, mwah.
I've never been a fan of filet mignon. I'm just like, I don't, it's too lean. Like, if I'm going to splurge and eat a steak, because I never eat steak, I don't eat beef. So when I do splurge, I want a nice fatty, like, cut. I want, like, a prime rib.
Not too
like
hot
that.
On the fat. I don't like chewing on the fat.
I
prefer the lean cut.
Well,
with
what
pork,
I do.
I'm more okay with it. With steak.
Yeah.
I'm more on the lean
it's
side.
Never
I mean, still, you know, 75% of it is meat still. I mean, I think what I like to do is like cut a little piece of fat, put it on the fork with the rest of the meat and just proportion it out. So I'm not just eating a mouthful of fat, you know.
Yeah, I've always also been more of a filet mignon. I'm a poser. I'm a steak poser.
To be a poser, you get your shit well done. That's how you're.
No.
Well, I used to do that. But I've told that story on the show before because, like, I'll tell it again. My dad used to make steak when I was a kid, and he only ever made that shit well done. I didn't know you could get it another way. So that's how I just ordered that way because that's all I knew. And then somebody finally
was
like, no,
no,
no.
Family.
I've heard that story countless times. So many people have eaten their steak. And I feel I'm sort of mildly in that camp. Like, I never ate it well done in my house, but it was always, like, medium, at least a medium well. And I never experienced a rare or medium rare steak until I – but you know what was weird is that my mother would order – if we would go to a restaurant, a real restaurant, like a diner, and get a burger, always rare. So she has had it in her head. Burgers are supposed to be rare. Steaks are supposed to be cooked, you know, longer than average.
Huh.
And I don't know why, but I'm glad because I love rare burgers. Like, anywhere I go, I get it, like, blood red. And I think that's the best way to make a burger.
I'm just steak. Medium across the board.
Yeah, medium is fine. The medium is the far out end of how much you should cook a steak. Like,
the thing with the medium rare is I feel like you have to scarf it down in 3 minutes. Otherwise, it's just cold, and it's like cold, uncooked. It loses its
it's a little too chewy for me.
Yeah.
I don't have that experience, but
I like it cooked through, but not overcooked.
It's hard. The other thing is when you tell them medium rare, they make it – they usually go up one step from what it is, unless it's like the best of the best steakhouse. You know, they always – overcook it from what you say. So I like to go down one notch.
And usually if you're at the best of the best steakhouse, they don't really even want you telling them how to do it. They just do it the way they do it, and that's it. And they're offended if you ask for anything else.
No, Peter Luger's is like that for sure. They don't even ask you what you want. They bring you a fucking certain, and I don't like that because they undercook it for me, and I like it rare, and they still undercook it. It's like bleeding. It's like mooing.
Yeah.
But other... I've been to places that they're very – I went to a really nice steakhouse called Club A, and it was Jennifer and me, and we took our friend, my longtime friend for like 20 years out for his birthday, just the three of us. And they asked – and this was a top – not Club A. It's on the east side of Manhattan. It's wonderful. But they asked him, and he said, well done. And they okay, sir. They're right back, sir. Like, they didn't blink.
Wow.
They didn't care, you know? It's just
the only place I've
where
had
you
that
go.
Is Peter Luger's, where they fucking you don't want. It's like fuck you.
Peter Luger's is the king of that. But maybe a handful of others I've had.
I got yelled at fucking Outback Steakhouse back in the day. Rob, you remember after Temple shows, we would go there sometimes as like our post concert meal, and this was pre me learning how to actually eat steak. And I would get the steak. I would ask for it well done every single time. The waiter tried to talk me out of it. Every single time.
I'm sorry, sir. You can't get your disgusting salt lick medium rare. Sorry,
yeah, exactly.
Well, one thing I've learned.
The cheapest fucking steak on the menu to begin with.
Yeah.
And, like, just at that point, like, just realize that you're dealing with someone who has no self-respect and just like, leave them be.
Yeah.
But, no, every time they still like, you should get it medium. Like, and I'm just like, no, just do it the way I want, goddammit.
Yeah, you're at Outback anyway. What's
it's
up?
Fucking Outback,
you
dude. you're one step above Applebee's. Like, relax,
I just spent the last 5 hours listening to fucking teenage ska bands. Like, just give me a break, man.
Outback is like the best of those shitty restaurants, though, I would say. Even though I wouldn't recommend going to Outback if you have other choices. But if you're going to go to one of those restaurants, Outback has some good food. Some good food.
And it's got more of a point of view than like an Applebee's.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, it's Australian. What is Applebee's? What do you have going for? What are you all about? It's just like a fucking generic restaurant. There's nothing. Give me something special about you. All the food is the same low quality garbage, but at least here they like give it like weird Australian nicknames. It's slightly elevated.
Just Fridays with more uncomfortable seating.
Yeah.
I want to mention, well, I think it's better than Fridays. If I had the choice between the two, easily would pick Outback.
Oh, yeah. Dusty Rhodes Muffler says, is the Peter Luger worse than the no good motherfucker Lex Luger?
I mean, they've both killed people.
But Peter Luger killed them slowly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what goes on in those back rooms.
What's really in that meat?
They kill a lot of cows, though.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I want to mention that I have a friend who is a chef, and he told me, I don't think this is the first person to mention that, when you get your steak well done, because it, you know, in their minds loses its flavor, they will give you a shittier cut of the meat because it doesn't matter. You wouldn't taste the difference anyway.
Smart. I don't think that's unethical at all. That's what I would do.
I don't think it's unethical, but it's something to consider when you get your shit well done.
I think they should just work that into the price at that point, though. It's like, fine, if you want it this way, you're going to get the worst cut of meat, but we'll charge you less. Because we got to get the worst cut of meat out of here anyway. So if you're going to do us the favor of eating the worst thing we have, we'll give you a couple dollars off. So then it also, it does mean it has to be on the burner longer, so it takes more energy. See, I guess it's a tough balance. I guess leave the price alone. Never mind steakhouses, as you were.
But they have giant fucking burners anyway. How much can it, you know, be different?
And then the highlight of my trip was the next morning. It was only a two and a half day trip, so nothing too crazy. But the highlight was absolutely we did a walking tour of Fenway Park in Boston. And it was wonderful because the Red Sox were not playing. So unfortunately the stadium wasn't empty there. I guess on Saturdays they do this thing where local firefighters can come and they can run up and down the stairs of the stadium.
Like for training?
Yeah. It's like a race.
All right.
So they were doing that. But
did you enjoy that? Were you watching the buff dudes run up and down the stairs getting all sweaty?
No, there was nothing really doing that. And like runners aren't buff.
So you're saying, well, they're firefighters, though. They're not runners. You just said they're firefighters.
Yeah, these guys do calendars.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that...
I didn't spot any beefcakes.
Boston first responders are ugly, is what you're saying. That's your main takeaway from this trip.
I'm not saying that at all.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
What I am saying is the walking tour was phenomenal. Even if you're not a fan of baseball, and, you know, I'm very peripherally a fan. I had a great time. We had a wonderful tour guide. His name is Steve. He's like this 7-year-old guy who's very passionate about baseball. It was really inspiring because it's like, oh, man, this guy's living the dream. He's a lifelong Red Sox fan, and all he does is spend all day telling people how great the Red Sox are. And, shit. The stadium is beautiful. Have you guys ever gone to Fenway Park?
I have not been.
I was told that my mother brought me there when I was an infant. Other than that, I've never been to a game there.
Well, I recommend it. It's surprisingly much smaller than I thought it would be. It's one of the smaller parks. I think it doesn't even seat 40,000 people.
It's tiny.
It's like 30,000. And it's 30-something thousand, and that's with just added seats in the last decade. They just added a tier. And the tier that they added looks like great. It's so well maintained.
They're on top of they're on top of the Green Monster, right? The new seats.
Oh, there were a few there, yeah, but most of them were behind home plate. They added a whole level. The Green Monster, there's like about 50 seats there. We did go up there. Those might be the best seats in the whole stadium because it's crazy how close that field is to the mount.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you could see everything so clearly from up there. And by the way, those are like $2,000 seats, you know, when the game
is that how much they cost really?
Wow. Yeah. He was saying for the bigger, like for a Yankee game in August, mm-hmm. it's going to go for like $2,000 or maybe
on the resale market or like retail price.
He might have said $2,000 for a playoff. Actually, I think it's like $500 for a regular game.
Damn.
But still, they're expensive seats. And so I'm sure you guys know that the stadium has both the longest distance for the outfield and the shortest.
Because
there's like one area that's like 420.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, center field.
Center field, and then the right field is like super short.
Did you enjoy that it was 420? Did you revel in that number?
I did not make the comment, but somebody else in my group made the comment, and the guy had no idea of the context.
Really? I figured that somebody would make that comment every single time he mentions it.
Yeah.
I guess not.
Wow.
So we went to the Green Monster. That was cool. We went to the press box, which was
really
nice. Did
you go inside the scoreboard?
No. That would have been really cool. But
they have a manual scoreboard that they just moved.
Yeah, it looks so nice. So what he was telling me is that, like, it's oddly, like, there's no bathroom there. There's no nothing there.
In the scoreboard, you mean?
In the scoreboard. Barely any light, but there is Wi-Fi. That's the only thing they installed in there because they needed to know the scores.
Wait, there's no... Darren, am I crazy? Wasn't there, like, a game where, like, Manny Ramirez went in there because he had to take a leak? I remember that story. Did he just piss on the floor?
Okay, maybe not the bathroom. He was saying, like, how it's so limited...
I saw there was a big Dominican ass hanging out, one of those numbers, and just some shit popped onto the field, but I don't know if that was him.
Was there, let's see.
How do they not, the players don't have a bathroom? They have to go to the scoreboard?
No, the scoreboard doesn't have, the area behind the scoreboard.
No, but Sid's saying that Manny Ramirez had to go take a leak, so he went into the scoreboard.
But it was when he was playing the field.
Oh, and you can just go in. Isn't it inside the stadium? You can just go in from the field.
I remember hearing this story.
No, I think you can because, like, Cave the Pitchers, isn't that by where the pitchers?
I don't know how it works there.
The, what's that called?
The
relief pitchers? Yeah, the bullpen. I don't know.
Okay, so he peed in a cup. I'm looking it up now. He peed in a cup.
Oh.
In the scoreboard.
Because they're saying it's just an empty room with the score listings, and then they just installed Wi-Fi. That's all they did.
That would have been
crazy. And we were in the visiting team clubhouse. We also got to see, which was
I'm
really
going to share
cool.
the picture, Rob, if you want to. I put it in our private chat if you want to post it.
Is a picture of his piss?
No, it's just him, like, trying to sneak out of the scoreboard during a game.
What was interesting about the visiting team's clubhouse is it's much smaller than I imagined it being. It's, like, really, really tiny.
This thing is built in, like, 1908 or something.
Well, what I've learned, here's a Manny Ramirez coming out of the, and it looks really nice. It looks really nice and old school, the scoreboard. I really enjoyed it. What's interesting about the away team clubhouse is when Fenway Park was initially built, there was no away team clubhouse. There was only one clubhouse that Boston and the traveling team would share, and they would put up a screen, like a curtain in between it. And then, like, one day, I believe, help me out here, guys, Cy Young?
Cy Young was
Red Sox.
No, okay. Well, there was some Yankee, maybe, that got into a fight with Cy Young. And after that fight in the clubhouse.
But, I mean, this was, like, early 1900s. Cy Young was a pitcher.
Yeah. So in the early 1900s, yeah, like 10 years into the stadium existing, there was a fight. And because of that fight, they were like, okay, we can't do this. We need to build a clubhouse for the away team. And so since then, they were in this tiny room.
Red Ruffing was checking out Cy Young's cock.
They gave him a three-finger Mordecai Brown.
Yeah, that was really cool. So, yeah, if you're ever in Boston, need something to do, definitely recommend that. I think visiting baseball parks in general seems like a really fun way to spend an afternoon. It was only an hour. It was nice.
Yeah, I'm
let me bring my weed in. They didn't take my weed away.
Wow.
I'm at, like, I think I have 12 ballparks visited now.
Nice.
That's the Mets in 11 of them.
Everybody agreed that the new Yankee Stadium is terrible, even the Yankee fans.
It's sterile. And, it's like a Lego replica of the original Yankee Stadium. But also, at the same time, it's, like, unnecessarily gaudy and pretentious. It's like a Trump casino.
Yes, exactly right.
And then the field matches what it used to look like, but everything else is like a Trump casino. We were there for the Big Four show. I haven't seen a game there yet.
Yeah, I saw the Big Four there, and I saw best concert of my life. Roger Waters doing the Wall, the Great Yankee Stadium.
They should build a wall around that fucking stadium when there's a game going on. Don't let them out.
Oh, the tour guy did have very nice things to say about Citi Field. He thought it was a beautiful stadium.
They're really not trying to be biased, because I'll tell you the truth. When Shea Stadium was around, I would have told you that was a fucking dump. But I loved it. I mean, I had my childhood memories there.
It was our dump.
And it was fun to, and I had,
I had countless memories, and not just game memories, but just being with my friends and stuff. I loved it for that, but the architectural aspect, I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah.
City Field is just one of the top five of the stadiums I've been to, easily, maybe top three. AT&T Park, the Giants, that's number one of all the parks I've ever been to. Lovely.
Still never gotten to go there.
Lovely. The view is unreal. Like when you're at a game, usually there's a skyline here, there's a building, there's something. At AT&T Park, you can see beyond the fence, and there's nothing but water. It's just beautiful. It's like you're on the beach. It's incredible.
I drove past it. It's really, really nice. Yeah. I did want to see something there because it looked really, really gorgeous. Also, the Anaheim Stadium it's like in a nice little.
Yeah, I had planned to see the Mets there and in Oakland in 2020, and that got coroned. So I had the whole trip planned and everything.
Yeah.
I also had the trip planned. Remember the Mets were going to play the Marlins in Puerto Rico?
Mm-hmm.
I had my tickets booked for the hotel was booked. I had to refund everything because of coronavirus.
Lame. Maybe
yeah,
they'll
well,
do that.
Now it's over, so you can do it.
I went to a concert on Friday, and it felt like coronavirus was over.
Oh, really?
Barely anyone. I wore a mask, but I felt like I was one of like maybe 10 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just
it was way lower than I expected. And it's like fucking like old man punk rock show in New York City. I thought, you know, there'd be a pretty high percentage. One of the members of the band was wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. There's a higher percentage of band members in masks than people.
Once the mandate was lifted, most people just are over it.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Anywhere I go, the train now, it's like mm-hmm. COVID bombs everywhere. And the train, by the way, there's no more mandate in New York City, but the subway system is a private entity, and they still mandate the mask,
yeah.
And nobody fucking wears them.
And the cops don't enforce it because they're not wearing them either.
Right.
To be fair, people weren't wearing it even during the mandate. I don't think the mandate...
Oh, I disagree with that. I mean, I take the train more than you, but I would say the vast, vast majority of people on the train were wearing the mask 2 or 3 months ago up until then. And in the last 2 or 3 months, it's maybe 50% now. It's
yeah.
People still wear them because they're in an enclosed sardine can full of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's necessarily they're doing it for the other people. I mean, they wear it to protect themselves. They're not doing it because they're mandated, but a large number of people, like you said, as soon as the mandate's gone, they're done with it. Like they were only ever wearing it because they had to.
I love it. I like it. I like the anonymity. I just knew I'd go to the show and nobody would recognize me on the off chance that somebody I knew was there. It was a fairly high chance.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know what fucked me up though? So I'm walking in. I'm like, I'm totally going to be anonymous. Nobody's going to recognize me. But like, I went with Lonnie and another one of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they were already there when I arrived. And instantly, the second I walk up the stairs, he recognized me and waved.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it.
But do you think your most identifying feature is your mouth and nose? Like, you're still noticeable.
I don't know. That was a little disheartening. I thought I'd be able to, like, sneak up on him, but then no.
I went to the opening day of the Mets season at home,
mm-hmm.
And that was, like, that was a sobering. That's the first time I really
that's
noticed.
Open air,
it's
so
outdoors.
I could sort of...
Fine.
Dude, it's open air, but when you go to take a piss, I mean, they're all on top of each other. It's
yeah.
Concourses are packed. It's functionally indoors. I mean, there's a straight line to the outside where the park is, where the field is. But, I mean, it's really enclosed on three sides no matter where you are.
The air isn't trapped. The air can travel.
Man, people should just wear fucking masks. You know what I mean? When you're that, when it's
I'm
that
over it.
Tight. When it's that fucking tight.
I'm over it. I don't want to wear a mask anymore. I'm done.
Really?
I'm taking the stance, folks.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't like it.
Well, isn't it what changed, though? Like, why do you think it's safe to... If you thought it's safe now, why wasn't it safe before?
I mean, to be clear, like, I'll still wear a mask if I go into a store or something. But, like, I was at a show this weekend. We went to see Clutch and the Sword. And I did go in starting to wear a mask. Also... We stayed at a casino, and when I was down in the casino, absolutely wearing a mask. Cause
they have casinos
people,
in Boston?
This was in Rhode Island, in Providence. So I started wearing the mask, and it was fucking hot, and then I started drinking, and then now, like, I'm not putting it back.
It was hot? Your mouth was hot?
Yeah. It gets a little sweaty in there.
Like in your mouth?
It gets sweaty in your mouth?
No, in the space between my mouth and the mask. Oh.
I think what you're saying is that you just spit when you talk and you got tired of it.
No, that's not what I'm
saying. You took the mask off and started spitting all over your friends.
I'm just having a hard time on this.
It's like not as easy to breathe.
No, I'm not about your mouth. I'm saying like you said in the casino, those motherfuckers, you need to wear a mask around them, which I fully support you on. Mm-hmm. I agree. Why is that different? Those are the same motherfuckers that are at the Mets game.
Or at the Clutch concert.
Yeah.
No, the Clutch concert, they're younger. So they're
whatever.
They have a better immune system.
Clutch,
I don't know. It's
old for me.
It's honestly, you're right. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Okay.
I'm not going to say I have a strict code.
Feel like it anymore.
Yeah, I just don't feel like it anymore. And also, I don't want to say that I'm invincible, nor do I want to jinx it, but like, I've been all right.
Because you've been wearing a mask.
I haven't been wearing a mask for a few months now, so I'm all right. I've worn a mask most of the time, but like I'm drinking and then now I go back and forth.
You know what this means, right? Oh, go ahead.
I was just asking if the next thing you're going to tell us is that you're moving to Arizona.
No.
Shooting off a rifle. You know what this means, though? This means definitely sometime in the next month I'm going to get COVID-19. Because Rob's not wearing a mask.
Fucking Rob.
I'm not wearing a mask because you're not boosted. Let's be honest.
Oh, shit.
I am boosted. Yeah. I have natural immunity from having had COVID-19. And I have more antibodies than the average.
Why don't you get the shots, Darren? Why don't you get the shots?
First of all, just to be clear to anyone listening to this, I have received one shot of Moderna. So I am not unvaccinated.
But you received it like a million years ago now. So
no, October. October 2021. And I was advised by my doctor, do not get the second shot. You had COVID-19. You have an insane amount of antibodies and protection. With the Moderna, you have been even boosted even further. Leave it alone, and we're going to stay monitoring you. I go to the doctor every 6 weeks or so. He gives me a little antibody test, and I'm out. And so far, they're the same. So he says it's pointless to get a booster. Don't bother. Don't get a second shot. Don't get a boost. If that changes, I have no ideological opposition to getting another shot. I'm not a MAGA. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm following the advice of my accredited medical doctor.
And that doctor's name?
I'm not giving his name on the air.
And his address? I want to look him up.
I'll tell you off the air.
I was going to make a joke that his name is Dr. Nick, but...
Oh, okay. No. He's a very good doctor. He takes good care of me.
Okay. Oh, look, Max says he's had COVID twice now and it was fine, so it's okay.
Well, people argue...
I had COVID twice now, it was fine. Going back to normal is by far worse by my health because I drink too much. Okay.
Is Max the guy that hates the Mongolians? Or a different?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
Max.
Well, this Max's avatar is Ice Cube. I can't imagine that Max would have an Ice Cube avatar. So I'm going to guess it's a different guy.
He might have a full album like Ice Cube does, hating on the white people, but he hates Mongolians. So it's all about Mongolians.
Mongolia's Most Wanted.
Sure. Mongolian injection.
Amazing.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, what Max said, I've had COVID twice now and it was fine. I think that a lot of people's experience is that it's like less than the flu now. It's so diluted. Like people are just getting it and it's not as dangerous as it was 2 years ago because of these strains. Each of these strains so far has been less and less potent, which is a good thing. But I'm not taking any chances. I'm going out with my mask when I go into places that are packed, like an opening day Mets game with 46,000 people there. I wear my mask. I don't wear it every single second I'm outside. You know, if I'm not around large concentrations of people, I don't wear it. But if I'm going to be in a place that's packed like a sardine can, like a fucking subway train, I wear the mask.
Yeah. Same.
One person who wears a mask in everyday life, Gene Simmons.
That's surprising. He seems like he would be an anti-mask.
Well, the mask he wears is like a human face, tied his lizard face.
The mask he wears is that of a moral human being.
It's falling off.
By the way, Max in the chat points out he is a British lurker and not the same Max, not the California Max who is not a fan of Mongolians from a few years ago.
And what ethnicity was the Mongolian-hating Max? Do we remember?
He was Russian.
Was he Russian? Was he born in Russia?
I think so. He had a pretty thick accent.
Now, is he Russian as in Russian, or is he what Rob was, which was calling himself Russian because he's from a former Soviet state?
Well, I'm the same way. But I can't remember, honestly.
It makes a difference now. You know,
I don't remember.
We got to tread lightly.
But I want to point out, so Gene Simmons, let's get to this. So this tweet of his went viral. He shared a news story of a fictosexual man married a hologram bride, but now struggles to bond. We'll read the story in a second.
Struggles to bond with who? The bride?
With Gene Simmons. He doesn't listen to Kiss anymore. I'm very upset.
He's having trouble. Well, we'll read the story, but I want to say Gene Simmons tweeted his support.
Yeah.
Do you want to read it, Darren?
The only thing he wants to kiss is some fictional punani.
No, that's not
it. All right. He said, it doesn't matter if you understand this relationship. It only matters if this otaku man is happy. Otaku is a person who is a manga, and has explained. He's got an otaku explain to us. Otaku is a person who is manga and a tech fan. Good luck to him.
There you go.
Mazel tov, I would say, if I wasn't tweeting at the moment.
He only says it's because that guy bought a Kiss wedding band. Loyal customer.
So the New York Post article reads, "She's not real, but his feelings are."
Oh, no.
Yes. Very important. Feelings are very important.
A fictosexual man who had a fictional computer synthesized pop singer 4 years ago said he's now unable to communicate with his wife, but he's still in love with her.
Now, I got a question. I have to break in here. It says a fictosexual man who wed a fictional computer synthesized pop singer. So for clarification, so this is it was created just for him or by him, or is this like an online, like a thing that anyone could be a fan of?
Let's see.
Is she on the blockchain?
Akiko Kondo was dating Hatsune Miku, depicted in pop culture as a 16-year-old with turquoise hair. Oh, boy.
For a
decade. Before
that's okay. He waited. He groomed her.
Yeah, this is...
Before they had an unofficial wedding ceremony in 2018, Kondo, one of many who identifies as fictosexual or someone who is sexually attracted to fictional characters. They just have a word for anything now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, aren't we all, from time to time, sexually attracted to fictional characters?
Sure. Spent 2 million yen, or about $17,300, on the nuptials. That's actually not that bad.
I used to want to bone She-Ra from He-Man.
But I just meant, like, you know, porn actresses aren't always playing themselves. Sometimes they're playing fictional characters.
But you're still attracted to the actress, too, though. Mm. I mean, she's a real person. There's elements of reality there still, even when you watch a fictional portrayal of a character. This is just a cartoon character. I mean, come on.
So, married for 4 years. Kondo said his relationship has hit a roadblock. He can no longer speak with Miku due to a technological hurdle.
What?
While Kondo acknowledges his relationship might be odd, he understands Miku isn't a real person. It doesn't change his feelings for her. Since falling in love, Kondo was able to interact with Miku for the first time in 2017 thanks to a Gatebox, a $1,300 machine that allowed device owners to interact with characters via holograms and even unofficially marry them. This story is just getting weirder.
What genius invented that machine? Jesus Christ.
This guy's uncle?
I thought of that.
But now his four-year marriage took a turn where support for Gatebox was eliminated, meaning, I guess the app wasn't that successful. Software was eliminated, meaning Kondo could no longer speak with his wife, Miku. Kondo insists he hasn't lessened his feelings. My love for her hasn't changed, which noted he now carried around a life-size version of Miku.
Wait, that's life-size? That's tiny. So
no,
he
no,
really
this
is
this
like
is the life
for,
size.
To,
this
oh.
is the life size. Here.
But no, that looks like
this is another
the animated. Yeah, that's.
No, this is real.
That's. All right, if you say so.
It's
that
real.
Looks like him photoshopped next to a cartoon.
Yeah.
That hair doesn't look real, but all right, maybe. Either way.
My love for Miku hasn't changed. He told Manchi, which noted that he now carried around a life-size version of Miku. I held the wedding ceremony because I thought I could be with her forever. Mm-hmm. Kondo is far from the only person in the world in a relationship with a character. Thousands of fictosexual people in Japan have become similar unofficial relationships.
I can relate. I was in a relationship, business relationship with Ace Frehley, and he's very, very fictional.
Or at least that's what he you claim when he asks for royalty checks.
Oh, I wish he was fictional.
Well, some relationships...
You're a cartoon character. You don't have a bank account, Ace. Get out of here.
And he bought it. He totally bought it for a few weeks. Then someone fucking told him. I was very upset.
He gaslit Ace Frehley into thinking he was a cartoon character.
Had him going.
While some relationships are just for kicks, Kondo's to him is very real. For a long time, he said he knew a human partner just wasn't for him due to his intense attraction to characters like Miku, a popular figure in anime and Japanese culture. Created as a synthesized voice using Yamaha's Vocaloid technology, Miku entered mainstream media as a human but fictionalized character in manga, anime series, and video games. Eventually, she became prominent enough to tour with the likes of Lady Gaga on her 2014 Art Pop Ball Tour. But Miku isn't just famous. She also helped Kondo with his depression. Kondo first became familiar with Miku in 2008 after bullying at work caused him to become depressed.
Oh.
Jeez, I wonder why he was bullied.
well, he's fucking the fucking disk drives.
Sound like he was bullied before he was into all this shit. Maybe this is because he was bullied.
Despite finding it difficult to accept his feelings at first, he knew humans weren't right for him after being met with rejection by others.
Oh,
he's
so
a nice
that
guy.
You weren't right for humans.
Yeah. I stayed in my room 24 hours a day and watched videos of Miku the whole time. In 2017, his relationship blossomed with Miku thanks to Gatebox. The machine gave Kondo the chance to propose to Miku, and he invited his family and coworkers to the ceremony, but none of them came.
Oh, no.
39 people did attend, including strangers and online friends, some of whom were also fictosexual. This is so sad. So this is the box, the hologram that he can talk to her with. There are two reasons why I had a wedding publicly, he told BBC at the time. The first is to prove my love to Miku. The second one is that there are many young otaku people like me falling in love with anime characters. I want to show the world I support them.
Oh.
This is so sad.
He's the Rosa Parks of otaku.
I want it. This is like, oh my God, there's so much here.
Yeah. Like otaku is a word that kind of morphed, right? Like that was basically the nerd. It was like a nerd here. Nerd is cool now. Like it's okay to say you're an otaku.
Well, if Gene Simmons is cool with it.
I am very cool with it. I am an otaku. I don't know if I told you this, but I tried to introduce Peter Criss to Yu Yu Hakusho. It did not go well. I was very disappointed. They don't have much anime in Yisrael, unfortunately. Where I am from, my origins. I had to discover it later in life when I hit 50. I got very into Gundam Wing.
It's hilarious, even though I don't know any of these anime references.
Doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. That actually makes it funnier to me, because they're just saying nonsense words.
Yeah.
Like... Rob, what do you think of this guy? Would you smash?
No, he's a nerd.
Is it how he carries himself, or actually his face?
Rob likes manly men.
That's not... I mean, I don't mind an effeminate man, but...
I didn't mean femme or... I just meant he's like a schlub.
A beta.
He didn't take care of himself.
He's a little too beta, yeah. A little too beta for me.
Do you think in this picture he's covering up a bone?
Maybe.
Well, how could he not have a boner? Look at that beautiful woman standing next to him.
So there's this BBC long read that the Post article links to.
Oh, boy.
And one of the lines is, I've never felt attracted to a real woman. I've never felt attracted to real women, he says. Why not, I ask. response because I'm not popular among women.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
Not a reason.
Fire me, I quit.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, you could still be attracted to them even if they have no interest in you.
I mean, like, he's telling himself whatever he has to tell himself.
Very weird existence.
I hope they reinstate that technology for this poor bastard.
In school, he was bullied for being an otaku, and bullying followed him into the world of work. He was working as an administrator in a primary school about 12 years ago when he was picked upon incessantly by two women. One was close to his age, one was a lot older. Mm-hmm. When he greeted them in the morning, they would ignore him. They would stand in the kitchen where he could hear them and call him names. And if he made a small mistake, they would shout at him, sometimes in front of young students, which he found humiliating. The bullying got so intolerable, that he left work.
Can I say that maybe a guy whose ideal woman is a 16-year-old girl shouldn't be working at a school to begin with?
Now, that's a question I was wondering, like, do people like this, like, first question, we can all agree this whole thing is creepy, whether that's a 34-year-old anime character or a 16-year-old, the whole thing is creepy. Is there anything extra creepy that she's 16? Because it's not a real person.
Yes.
That's maybe not the best way to put it. What I would say is, do we automatically believe this man is attracted to human 16-year-olds? And is that a big deal if it's only a cartoon character?
I see what you're saying. I don't think it's the 16. It's weird, but it's not like there's way more weird shit happening to concentrate on the 16-year-old thing.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and assume he's actually attracted to children. But if this is the way he lets that out into the world, then it's the safest way possible. So more power to him.
I go back and forth on that because I don't know. Sometimes I think that I agree with what you said, Sid. And other times I'm like, well, what if this is just like square one on the Candyland board or something? You know what I mean? Like maybe he starts stalking a high school next because he's in. It's not enough anymore. You know, he's done with watching it on television, and now he's got to go to get a van or something.
I mean, yeah, like if 10 years later he's still not able to communicate with her, eventually he's going to stray.
I have
does he stray?
Gene Simmons of Kiss here. I am on alert with a Kiss coffin when he decides to off himself.
Is there like an OnlyFans for cartoons that he could subscribe to, or like a some kind of cam girl site where it's just cartoons?
Hold on, stop the show. I want to take a note here. OnlyFans for cartoons. Just writing something down.
Rob, that could be your next venture.
I want to point out, so in this long read, he claims he was hikikomori, which is a well-known phenomenon in Japan and South Korea where young people, mostly men, become hermits in their own parental homes. He said he locked himself in his home for 2 years, refusing to go outside or even speak to their families. There are estimated to be about 1 million of these men, and they can go on for many years. What is going on with men in these Asian countries where
they're devoid?
They need to tan
their balls, clearly. That's what's missing.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons of Kiss here. Just wanted to say I'm a big fan of hikikomori, but season 4 was a little lackluster. It's definitely taken a downturn with the new writer.
Jump the shark.
It just sounds to me like this guy is perennially, am I saying?
Perennially,
thank you, depressed.
Or perineumly, maybe you meant.
And that, like, that really needs to be dealt with. I don't know. And maybe not the best thing for Gene Simmons of Kiss to be encouraging this thing.
Well,
do you think
mind your business.
Guy cares what Gene Simmons thinks of him? He doesn't know who Gene's, like, whatever. It's positive, so great. But I don't think he's living and dying with Gene Simmons' opinion.
I guess ultimately, though, he's not harming anyone, and this does make him happy. There's worse fetishes.
Tell me, what are the worst ones, Rob? List them.
Ones that harm other people.
All right.
That's it.
You know, I think I don't know. It's weird, but it's a very repressed culture. Like if you've ever seen their porn, like they have to blur out the penises.
Mm-hmm.
And any penetration digitally, they can't show it. And it's just, I don't know, I feel like that, you know, we have plenty of weird sexual fetishes here, but I just think
Is it possible that his first sexual attraction was to that digital blur, and that now he's just into a fully digital person, like out of that initial attraction for the blurring.
So he dated the blur for a while, and then they broke up, and then he went
evolved.
Should have stayed with the blur. But I support you. I support you.
That's rough.
I will meditate on this and read from the Talmudic scriptures tonight as I pray for you, young man. I pray that you one day meet a real life fuck doll that you can take to bed.
I have to, I see this and I just wonder, what is Gene's angle? Because it seems like he's not just chiming in on issues unless there's something he can gain from it.
Honestly, I just thought he was he spends 10 minutes a day looking at Twitter, saw that, thought he had to make a statement, and he would sound like a wise, sagacious, I think his angle is he can sound smart and caring, and also at the same time, look like he knows what young people today are going through when he doesn't.
Do they have a Japanese tour planned? He's just trying to get...
Good point.
It just feels to me like there's got to be some kind of Kiss branding behind this that he's just warming up to, or he's got a kink that's even darker than this, and he just wants to come out supporting all kinks. So when his is revealed,
you think the members of Kiss are going to run a train on a hologram now? Because I think it's they're playing Strutter and just banging some fucking hologram girl.
I mean, that's better than them doing it to a poor groupie.
I'm looking at the replies, and there's this one photo. One guy's like, "Hell yeah, brother!" He posts this photo. For a second, I thought this was Gene Simmons. It's just some fucking Asian guy in his tiny studio apartment with his real doll on the bed, and then some of her wigs, some other doll,
three mannequin heads.
What a scene!
Got some wet wipes on the floor there. Those probably come in handy.
Crucial.
Yeah.
You don't want to get an infection.
Oh.
All right, Rob. Now it's just...
I'm just in the replies. Yeah. If it's allowed on Twitter, I don't know.
An SFW.
Hasn't been removed yet, at least.
All right.
Seems like a very popular popular character. A lot of people are responding positively to this.
Mm-hmm. Well, his tweet went viral.
So how do other people who are in love with this same kid, do they see the guy get mad at her and get mad? Or is it
No, they marry her too. It's a different one.
So they can all marry her.
Yeah.
I don't know how this works.
What a whore.
Yeah, terrible.
What an animated whore she is.
Terrible person.
Don't hologram shame her.
She's mid anyway.
You've had better holograms?
I mean, it's not my cup of tea. But I dabbled.
Darren, you said you ran into a preacher recently.
Yeah, yeah. I was on the subway just minding my business. And this guy who he looked like he just came from a King's X concert or something. He was just stuck in the 90s. And he was listening to some, it relates to my pick today for our playlist, because I think he was listening to Mudhoney.
Oh.
And which I picked, which we'll discuss later. But then I'm like, all right, he's blasting music on the tram. If I like the band, I don't really want to hear it, It's not my choice. But then it suddenly shifts to some preacher, like a guy talking on his speakers. It wasn't him doing it. He was just playing his phone connected to very good quality speakers. And he stands up and he starts holding the speakers.
Oh, God.
And it's Jesus wants this and Jesus that. And it went on for a good 5 minutes. And then in the middle of all of that, you suddenly start to hear ads, which I thought was hilarious. So it was God loves you, God is love, and God doesn't want you to be in a relationship. If you're not happy in it, God will put obstacles in you that will prevent love. And then it's if you
really love your family. Good. Tyson Foods is the chicken for you. And he just looked at his phone like he was so fucking angry. He was so pissed off. He was like, I can't believe they're interrupting my sermon. And it just kept happening. I was just watching his face just become crestfallen.
So he didn't say anything himself. He just was playing
Did not
the
say
audio.
Peep. He didn't say a word. But he was nodding along when the wise words of Jesus were coming out of the speaker. He was like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then Tyson Foods, you know, all that stuff. Like, yeah.
That's fucking strange.
Yeah.
Did he want money? Did he come around with like a hat afterwards? And he just was sharing the word and that's it?
No, in fact, he missed a stop almost. Like he realized he raced off the train and just made it through the door because he was so into Jesus, I guess. I see a lot more Jesus stuff on the train now lately. Like people set up camp in the – this has always happened, to be clear, but I think it's increasing. Like more and more people are doing like proselytizing on the train because in the larger train stations that have more place to roam and connecting trains and all that, like in those vestibules, there's always somebody set up with like a Jehovah's Witness stand or something.
Oh yeah,
handing out pamphlets and explain why. The number one thing I hear them saying is, "Did you know Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in hell?" Like they think they're so clever because they.
Oh cool.
They've defeated the one thing that people have an objection to.
Yeah.
Like Christians believe in hell, you're going to be tortured. Well, they solved that. They don't think hell exists. It's like there's quite a lot of other things that are wrong with it, but that's good that you don't believe God will infinitely punish people for jerking off. That's nice.
You just reply, yeah, neither do I. Cool. See you. And keep walking.
We found some mutual agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say one thing. Of all the shitty religions that are prominent in the United States, I would say Jehovah's Witnesses to me are the least shitty and the most logically consistent. They're still shitty. They still believe in a lot of shitty things, but they're less shitty than all the other ones.
Why do you say that?
They don't believe in hell is one, and they don't believe in they don't do gratuitous like display. They're allowed to proselytize and all that, but they're supposed to like respect atheists and they're supposed to respect people of other religions, whereas other religions emphasize like being hostile almost to other religions or declaring that they're wrong and all that. I think other than they do proselytize, which is annoying. I think that's shitty. But then again, if you believe something, you want to tell people. If you think it's the most important thing in the world, like I feel like all of us do that to some extent. Like we believe something, we tell others about it.
Yeah.
So.
Rob started the show doing that about fucking IPAs.
Exactly.
So.
And delicious.
Tell me about IPAs.
Delicious fruity mango beers that don't taste like beer.
Grapefruit.
Yeah.
No.
Pass.
It's good.
Mango
it's good.
I would get into.
Yeah. I don't
they
even
have mango beers. I had a mango beer.
I don't even really like grapefruit juice, like real grapefruit juice.
Yeah,
I do. Sometimes I force myself to drink it. Like I feel like it invigorates me, and I feel the vitamin C going right through me when I drink it in a way that I don't when I drink orange juice. So I kind of like that if I want to wake up, but it doesn't taste good. It tastes bearable. Like beer.
Well,
some beer.
Bearable.
Sharon Osbourne's back in the news.
Oh
no, we have to hear her voice now. That's the problem with that.
Do we?
Rob doing it.
Yeah. Oh, that's delightful. That's like grapefruit juice to me.
I just have to turn my headphones down a little.
Please get ready. Good warning. But I give credit to Blabbermouth here. What a great photo and headline. Sharon Osbourne says she looked like fucking Cyclops. After horrendous facelift.
Take away one of her eyes?
Does she mean the X-Men Cyclops or like the mythological figure of Cyclops?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I think Cyclops, the Marvel Cyclops has that glasses thing.
Yeah.
But she's saying they took an eye out? Like
yeah.
What does that mean?
She told the Sunday Times,
I
had a full facelift done in October. And I look like one of those fucking mummies they wrap with bandages. It hit like hell. You have no idea. I'm telling you, it was horrendous.
I have some idea. Like, my ears are hurting probably the way her face hurt.
I'm like, you've got to be fucking joking. One eye was different to the other. I look like a fucking cyclops.
Yeah, that's not what a cyclops is. They have one eye. They don't have
Cyclops is supposed to have two different eyes.
I'm like, all I need is a hunchback. Now she's Quasimodo. What's going on?
I think she just doesn't know what a cyclops is.
Yeah. Ozzy, is that a thing?
Ozzy, being the brave husband that he is, says, I don't care how much it costs. We'll get it redone.
Yeah.
What a nice
guy. I don't want to look at that.
Yeah, I don't want to look at Cyclops with a hunchback all day.
Yeah, he's not supportive. He just is for his own selfish goals.
But he can't see it. She probably looks like Kathy Ireland to him.
Yeah.
Sharon says her face is settling now. So here's a
photo
of her today.
All right.
And it's, I mean.
She's got sort of like that Joker effect. Where it looks like her face was cut in half at the like the jawline.
What do you know how I got these scars?
That would be fun if she was the villain in the next Batman movie.
Well, they're doing three of these Robert Pattinson ones.
Yeah.
The third one, she could be the Joker.
That's a pretty progressive take on the Joker. We've never had a female Joker, have we?
Fine with me.
I guess it's a whole profile on her, but. I think the photo is.
I guess I'm always like, I think she looked fine before. I never understood why she had to get.
Because she didn't think it, Robin. It just matters what she thinks.
She's vain. She's contorting herself so much, she's almost going to be a fictional character soon. And she can marry that dude now.
Is that why Gene Simmons did it? Is he secretly pining away for Sharon Osbourne?
I've always had a thing for Sharon.
Just waiting for Ozzy to croak so he could step in.
We were on tour together in 1981. Had a moment's glance, but that was all, sadly.
She's Jewish, too, so.
Yes.
Maybe they bond over.
It would be a union blessed by Hashem.
Oh, my God. Isn't Ozzy dying or something, Rob? Doesn't he have, like, COVID?
I mean.
He did get COVID again.
If he's not dying, he's dying anyway. There's nothing specific, but he can't be far off.
Yeah. Fair.
But I think he'll be fine.
Oh.
Dr. Robert Pasvani thinks Ozzy will be fine
he'll be
remotely.
Fine.
There's a live cast Kiss of Death or anything.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we just released our new Patreon episode where we watch a couple episodes of Judge Steve Harvey.
Wait, hold on. Before we get to that, there's actually a video for it.
Ozzy.
Okay, I do want to say now that I see video, the surgery seems brutal, like her upper lip isn't even moving.
Yeah, she looks terrible.
It was like the middle of the night, our time. But I spoke to him, and he's okay.
You must be so worried about him.
I am very worried about Ozzy right now. We've gone 2 years without him catching COVID, and it's just Ozzy's luck. He would get it now.
His luck, he's like a multi-millionaire international superstar. I think he's got pretty good luck.
Yeah. So far, so good.
Hold him and kiss him, but with about 3 masks on, I think.
That was his suggestion.
Oh, my family's my life.
Put a mask around your forehead too. And still see some of you.
I can't believe my luck. But,
actually, could you just tell the hairdresser how much you want to kiss me and that she'll come in and transfer?
He's been there 3 days.
Can you put a mask around your whole body?
I can't believe it. 3 days and I'm missing the show. But I will be back. I will. I know I will. It'll take me a week to get my old man back on his feet again, and I will be back in a week.
Well, that's nice of her. This is not her usual bravado. She's like in a tender moment here.
Unfortunately, he was diagnosed in the middle of the night. They're all sleeping, so I haven't spoken to them yet. But they'll rally round. They'll be with him.
So she talks to the media before talking to her children?
This is all very strange.
I don't know, Sharon. I don't know. But yeah, Sid, you were talking about our Patreon. Go ahead.
So there was another non-wrestler case was with a mother and daughter. And the mother actually looked younger than the daughter. So one of us compared it to the Judds. And this was recorded mere days before Naomi Judd died. This weekend. curse, the live cast curse, even when we don't release it right away, it's still that strong that it will kill a country legend right where she stands.
That's right. You can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/RIP a livecast. $5 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes and a bunch of fun extra content like a TV column, a TV recommendation column from Sid. Another fun stuff. Like Sid mentioned, we just posted a new episode. We watched a few more cases of Judge Steve Harvey. And, we had Scott Steiner on. There was Kevin Sullivan, J.J. Dillon. And we have a lot of really fun episodes in the archives. There's a whole other Judge Steve Harvey episode. We have an episode where we watch tons of stuff. We watch Tag Team, a show with Jesse Ventura and Ronnie Piper. We have what are some other watch-alongs that we did? We did the Danzig
Santa
movie.
With Muscles.
Santa with Muscles. There's the Motley Crue movie.
The first two, Decline of Western Civilization.
Lots of fun stuff in there. So check out our Patreon, patreon.com/RIPAlivecast. And, the new episode up today is Judge Steve Harvey. More Judge Steve Harvey. And my favorites are the live cast. Meme Hall of Fame. We go through some of our favorite jokes and characters and memes of years past and like really deep dive and reevaluate what the hell we were thinking or what the hell they were thinking. And so definitely check that out.
And if anybody's got suggestions for new memes we should cover that we haven't covered yet, we're all ears. Rob, what's our email address?
We want to know who you want us to induct into the next Livecast Meme Hall of Fame. Our email address is ripalivecast@gmail.com. Send us any feedback you want on there. And actually, we do have some, looks like somebody sent some drops, but we're going to need them to be, I want to go through them first before playing them on the air.
What are you scared of, Rob? You're going to get yourself canceled?
Also, I can't play it like the way we have it set up now. Darren has to play the drops. I can't play them. It's weird. But we don't need to talk about that on the air. But thank you to Dan for sending some drops. Let's see what else we got in here. Rob in the UK asks, can one refer to oneself as a mensch? Or can you only describe other people as such?
I don't see why, Darren, you're muted. I don't see why you can't refer to yourself that way.
Yeah, it's just a descriptor. That's all.
Yeah.
Mensch